This is Marketing Reads, a Chinese consumer connection where we look at books related to marketing in China. The book I'm looking at today, maybe you've not heard of. You might even have a little bit of a hard time finding it. But I highly recommend it if you're serious about understanding the underlying business culture and the culture in general for your marketing research or your marketing efforts. The book was titled Lugang, Commerce and Community in a Chinese City. And the author is Donald R. DeGlapper. And anyone who's familiar with Taiwan studies, Asian studies in general, Chinese studies, probably has heard DeGlapper's name. He's fairly well known for his field work that he's done and the publishing that he's done. And specifically, he looks at business, commerce, community, how these things all fit together from an anthropological perspective. So that may scare some people off, and I have something that will scare some people off even more, and that is that the book was published in 1995, and you know, a lot of my students will say that's way too long ago. In fact, I've heard students tell me that they're not allowed to put references in any of their research papers or thesis that is older than 5 years, which scares the bejesus out of me, because my projects take more than 5 years usually, and so by the time they're published, the work is more than that already, so that's a bit scary. Anyway, the book is from 1995, but even more important than that is the research was done in 1968, 1969. So research is done in the late 60s and then published in the mid-90s, and now we're looking at in the 21st century. You know, how can this possibly apply? Well, number one, the observation, the field work, the concepts are just really good. They really combine those points I'm talking about, commerce and community. Number two, it's great to look at it and see nothing much has really changed. So let's quickly jump in here and see what's in this book. Let's look at the table of contents. Chapter one, some Chinese puzzles. Chapter 2, The Shadow Zone, Chinese Personal Relations, Associations, and Cities. And here we really see the kind of geographical emphasis. The book is really about Lugang. It's a study of Lugang. Chapter 3, The City of Lugang. Chapter 4, Lugang in Space and Time. Chapter 5, Politics at Lugang. Chapter 6, Social Structure in Old Lugang. Chapter 7, Images of Community. Chapter 8, Personal Networks and Qing-based Groups. Chapter 9, Using the Model. And Chapter 10, Varieties of Conscious Models. Now, none of these chapter titles really tell you what it's about. Now, this is not a pop marketing book, and they don't have these really catchy titles to tell you how it's going to help you in your marketing effort. However, there are some points I want to center on. Of course, we get the history of Lugang, which is really informative. And in a way, that history of Lugang is really the history of Taiwan. So there's right there a great lesson to learn if you're not familiar with Taiwan's history vis-a-vis the mainland and the immigrants that have come over, etc. Another interesting thing is the politics. Now, in the late 60s, of course, there's only one party in Taiwan. That's the KMT. It's a dictatorship. There's not much going on as far as politics is concerned, and yet people still run for office, there still are elections, and DeGlapper really dives into that in a very interesting way. Like, why is that? What's happening? Why would somebody possibly want to run for office? And surprise, surprise, the answer is relationships, how you get in contact, how you get into an in-group, how you get these structures going in these wide-ranging circles that come back to you. The chapter I really want to center on, though, has to deal with the idea of relationships, and that's Chapter 8, Personal Networks and Qing-based Groups. And I think that one thing that's been missed in a lot of the pop Western literature is this overemphasis on Guanxi, this concept of Guanxi. Yeah, of course, Guanxi is very important, but Guanxi's just one part of a much more complex relationship network. And I think it's much more important to emphasize the relationships at a different level, the wrenching that you build up over time, that wrenching you build up between a customer and a shop owner, or that relationship you build up between two businesses that are doing B2B, having a B2B relationship. And for me personally, since I do a lot of consumer behavior work, and if you're doing consumer behavior work, then I think this book is really going to pay off because De Glapper spends a lot of time at the personal level. And one thing I wanted to look at is the last page on the chapter called Using the Model, page 259. I just want to read a passage to give you a bit of the flavor because I'm really afraid it's going to scare people off, this book about Lugang a long time ago. Although in my mind, it's not that long ago, but a lot of students, I think, would be scared off, and maybe a lot of marketers would think, hey, things change so fast, what use is that? Let me read this paragraph and give you a flavor. De Glapper says, in most of the Taiwanese communities I am familiar with, temples are physically adjacent to markets, and this is, as they say, not accidental. Temples and markets are the physical manifestations of the two social principles, calculation and communitas, that guide the social life of the people beyond the confines of the family and kinship. To have a Chinese community, you need a temple and a market. Each implies the other, and together they form a whole. Every market has an adjoining temple, but not every temple has a market. The response here is that there is more to social exchange and transactions than selling cabbages and fish, and that commercial transactions are simply the most visible subset of the larger category of transactions and relationships that make up social organization, what Morton Fried called the fabric of Chinese society. That's a great passage for consumer behavior perspectives, because it really shows the relationship between temples vis-a-vis religion is also implied there, and that community coming together, and then how you're marketing and selling things. And in Taiwan, in Hong Kong, we can see this in the fresh market, the day market, the night markets. We can also see it in successful efforts such as Carrefour and the Japanese department stores, which really need to bring in some of that zonao feeling that develop in those local markets, in those temple markets. If you don't have that, you're really going to miss the mark for the majority of people who really feel comfortable in that kind of setting. That hasn't changed. And I'm just really pleased to read De Glapper's book again. I've read it a few times before. I haven't touched it in a couple of years. Pick it up again. And once more, one more time, I see, you know, nothing's changed in the past 40 years. Nothing's really shifted at all. Let me read another section that would be especially relevant for those doing business in China and looking at the Chinese situation. Because the Chinese situation is very similar to the Taiwan situation previously. Of course, now we have a multi-party democracy. Things are much more open than they were. We don't have martial law. Back in China, however, in the PRC, this is kind of stuck in the past a little bit. Although the economy is developing, politically things haven't shifted that much. So in this way, I think China is very similar to Taiwan in the previous 40 years. So the time De Glapper's doing his observation in Taiwan, I think you can almost shift right over and change that to be China. Of course, the things people are buying are going to be different, but maybe the way they're doing it is not going to be different. And the key point here is De Glapper talks about, you know, why were people running for office in 1969 when there was only one party in Taiwan, the KMT? Why would you run for office? What's the possible benefit? You cannot really compete against anyone. And even when you gain office, you don't really have much power. All budgets and decisions are made up in a different level, which is the KMT dictatorship. So what's the benefit? Well, let's take a look at what De Glapper says. I'm going to read a passage from page 217 about the rewards of office holding. When a muddy road is paved or an irrigation ditch improved and lined with concrete, it is only reasonable for the local member of the county assembly to claim credit for persuading the public works department of the county government of the urgent necessity for such work. Nor would it be too unlikely for the work to be done by a building contractor whose sister is married to the head of the town council, and who hires a truck belonging to the brother of the head of the town public works department. And should the cement on the new road turn out to be only half as thick as specified, so that the road soon begins to break up under heavy rain and heavy truckloads of stone and gravel being removed from the riverbed and sold to a private construction company, then the leader of the town's opposition faction would not be likely to go to the district court in a nearby city and charge individuals with corruption, misuse of public funds, and sale of the cement that should have gone into the road to a certain merchant in a nearby town. For the daughter of the head of the opposition faction might well have just obtained from the county assemblyman an introduction to the principal of a good school in Taichung City. With this introduction, the daughter, newly graduated from Taiwan Normal University, would not have to teach rural children in some leaky-roofed school out in the sweet potato fields, but could live and work amid the bright lights of the big city and be on hand to do a little babysitting for the family of her mother's older sister, with whom she will be staying. And the present, the red envelope, she would present to the school principal. School principals do have the power to hire and fire their staff. Would not have to contain the equivalent of $50 to $100 customary for teachers getting such a prize post. And if, in spite of all of this, charges were pressed and the affair of the missing cement were to go into the newspapers, then the matter of the land held by the opposition leader's family, some 5 hectares more than the limit allowed by the land reform law, might come up. What a great passage. It really centers on what we all do know about, which is that Guanxi idea, where Party A contacts Party C to get Party B to do something. Only in Chinese culture, it's never just those three people. It's much more complex, goes around in a big, big circle and comes back to you. And here we see that part of that is getting caught up in the buying and selling, and everything goes around and nobody tries to go too far out of their way to cause trouble or rock the boat. Certainly that hasn't changed. The politics have changed. The freedom situation has totally changed. But that idea of those relationships haven't changed. In fact, in conflict, in Taiwan when you have conflict, in Hong Kong when you have conflict, in Singapore when you have conflict, it's very often for people, very normal for people to say, hey, you know, just drop it. Just keep that under wraps. Don't bring that out in public, or get even in another way so that nobody knows it was you. So this is a really, really key point. De Glapper brings it out well, but in a business context. And so I think a lot of business people coming to Asia, coming to China, may be expecting things to be in a Western format, which is a very logical kind of positivistic format. But the business that's been going on here for, at least we can see here, since the late 60s, and most likely much earlier than that, is really cultural based. It's going to be hard to break out of that, very, very slow to change. And on the surface, you may see things that look very westernized, but underneath, everything De Glapper found, everything De Glapper talks about, is still very, very strong. So this book is highly recommended for all business people, especially for marketers, because it is talking about that relationship building. And I think that's key in marketing in every society, no less so in Chinese. This is Marketing Reads, a Chinese consumer connection, where we look at books related to marketing in China. Meow, 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 meow